Now we're going to have the boys and girls please to come ahead and they're going to minister to us just now. Some are more eager than others, and that will be apparent as we go along.
Been singing already as a congregation about the hands of God, and the Bible tells us lots of times and lots of things about his hands, but one of the lovely things that it tells us is that our names are written on God's hands. Now why might we write something on our hands, boys and girls? Why might we write something on our hands, Rebecca?
To let us remember stuff.
Brilliant, so that we remember. Well done. And God has our names, whether we've one name or two names or a whole lot, or whether it's an English name or whether it's a Chinese name like Blair. Isn't that amazing that it's as if our names are written on God's hands? He loves us so very much. So will we sing our next song? Are you ready? Rebecca's going to help us with it. We can see Samuel too. So God gives us so many lovely pictures of his love and his care for us if we follow him. And the children have been learning Psalm 91. And they've been making wee birdhouses to remind them of some of what that psalm says. So can anybody tell me why you might make a birdhouse? What do you think, Eva?
To keep the birds safe and protected.
Brilliant. To keep the birds safe and protected. Very good. And what else might you put out onto the wee birdhouse? Lucas. Food, if you say it to Danielle.
Food.
Good man. Very good. And Lucas and Kelsey are going to say some of our memory verses now. You ready? So the Bible says in Psalm chapter 91,
those who go to God Most High for safety will be protected by God All-Powerful. I will say to the Lord, you are my place of safety and protection. You are my God and I trust you.
God will save you from hidden traps and deadly diseases. He will protect you like a bird spreading its wings over its young.
So isn't that a lovely image of how much God loves us? That if we follow him, he will protect us like a bird. Samuel's given us a demonstration of a bird, aren't you? Flapping its wings. And remember, we had the wee story when we were learning about Psalm 91 of the bird in the farm flapping its wings like Samuel was doing because there was a big eagle. And the chicks, what did the chicks have to do so that they were safe? What did the chicks have to do? Does anybody remember? Eva's answered already. Does anybody else remember? What did the wee chicks have to do, Dylan?
Hide under its mummy's wings.
Brilliant. They had to run under its mother's wings. And so often we forget to go to God when we have difficult things in our life. But we thank him that he's always there for us. And he loves us more than any mother could ever love us. So well done.
I'd like to introduce you to three lovely girls. In fact, they're going to introduce themselves. The three girls, they're leaving primary school soon at the end of June, and they're hoping then to go on to secondary education in September. September may seem a long way away, but it'll not be long coming round. And we need to pray for these girls. They are three Christian girls, and we want to encourage them to go on in their Christian life. And I'm going to ask the pastor to come and pray for them in a little minute, and then they're going to sing a song and with some of the other ones as well. But the song says, "You're the God of the sunshine and the God of the snow." And it goes on to say, "You're the God of my money." They mightn't have much money, but they have to give it to God. "You're the God of my phone," and they all have a phone, but they have to give it to God. "You're the God of my friendships." We need to pray that they will make good friendships in school, that they will stand up for the Lord and be counted for him. And so I'm going to get the girls out, and they're going to introduce themselves first of all.
I'm Katie, and I go to Keynes Park Primary School, and I'm hoping to go to Glen Gormley High School.
I'm Sophie, and I go to Mossy Primary School, and I'm hoping to get into Glen Gormley High.
I'm Sophie, and I go to Keynes Park Primary School, and I'm hoping to go to Glen Gormley.
All right, it's not hard to remember. Two Sophies and a Katie, not it? As they move now from primary school, it's a big step for them, isn't it? Some of you will be able to remember, maybe some of you have forgotten long ago, maybe over 60 years ago, but some of you will remember just the huge step it is, and also the big change it is, and the many different challenges that are upon youngsters as they move from primary school. Things aren't just as simple in secondary school, as you know, as they were in primary school. So we want to pray for them and everyone else around the area as they move into those various different schools. So let's bow together and pray for these three, the two Katies and Sophie, two Sophies and Katie. Father, thank you that you're the God of our time, the God of our money. You're the God of every step in our lives. Thank you that you're the God who goes with us. You said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Father, we thank you so much that that is as relevant for the two Sophies and for Katie as it is for anyone that's bowed in your presence here in church here this evening. We pray for them, Lord. We ask, O God, that they'll stand strong and stay strong and firm in their faith. Lord, you said it's childlike faith, simple faith, believing in God, trusting him, taking him at his word, believing that you're in every circumstance and every situation, and that we can leave it in your hands. We ask, Lord, that you'll go before them. Help them to be strong. Help them to nail their colours to the mast as soon as they go forward in your name. May they know your blessing. May they find Christian friends, Lord. Give them someone to encourage them, and may they know there's encouragement for them here as well. We commit them into your hands, thanking you for them. Thank you for their faith in Jesus Christ and the love for the Lord. Thank you for their desire to serve you. And we pray, O God, that you'll meet them at the very point of their need. And, Lord, all the children, as we've prayed this morning, and anyone who's involved in exams and tests at this time. And we do pray for Blair as she goes back to China as well. May she know, Lord, you opening up the way for her. May she come to know you, Lord. Thank you for her interest in the things of God, and pray that she'll continue to seek after you. And Father, even for her grandmother who knows you, we pray, Lord, that she will be an encouragement to her. We commit ourselves to you now as we continue on in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a great pleasure to have had Nigel with us here all day. He's showing us a wee bits and pieces of his beetle, or what's left of it, and he's going to come and show us a few more bits and pieces. Thanks, Nigel, for your ministry to us today, and God bless you as you come and share with the boys and girls. We do have a closing song. It's In Christ Alone, so hopefully that'll sort suit you as well. Thanks.
Well, children, you've done powerful well again. Very, very well done. Let me just move a few wee bits to one side. Who can remember, I know the secret has got out for the pastors, just said it. Who can remember the best car in the country? What is it? Yes, young man. Exactly, son, exactly. How true you are. Where are we at? Are we coming up or are we coming, boys? Have we got her up? Boys, where are we at? Good man. Keep her coming. Thankfully, she's not in the clouds. That's the main thing. The wife thinks she should be in the clouds, but that's just typical. Maybe she'll come yet. Have you got her there, boys? Don't let me put you under any pressure, anything like. But I would like it sometime today. Hey, she'll come sometime. Well, hold on. Well, she's maybe here now. Look, there you go. Isn't she beauty, isn't she? Sadly, she's not mine. Because, as I told you this morning, this is mine. And so I'm in the long process. You remember this morning we tried to share a few wee bits, tell you a few things. What was the first thing we spoke about this morning? And it's about, yes, young lady. Exactly right. Let me just get my running shoes on here, and I'll be right with you. Hold on a wee minute now to get her out. Oh, here she's here, look. Let's get a wee go. Now, we learned a very, very important lesson, a number of very important lessons about this door. Who can remember one lesson about the there's two what in this door? Yes, young man?
No,
you're too quick. There's two what? Yes, young lady? No, you're a long way. No, let me remind you, there's two sides. There's the outside and there's the inside. And the only way you can be in the inside where the family of God is concerned is that you've got to have Christ Jesus in your heart. We learned not only was there two sides, but on most doors there are two what? What is there on most doors? Yes, young man. Two handles. But on this door, there's just one handle, and the handle's on the inside, and it reminds us that we must invite Jesus Christ into our hearts because he won't force his way in. On most doors, there's one of these things. What is this one thing that most doors have, like your car door or your front door or your back door? What might it be? Yes, young man. No. Try again. Yes, young man. Exactly right. A lock. And for some of us, you know, sadly, we are locking Christ Jesus out of our lives. So that's just a wee quick reminder of the door. Who remembers the second piece of equipment that we had brought with us of my class? Yes, young lady. A light. That's right. I'm telling you. Let me go again. See where we're at here. Don't know why you just took that side door away. It made my life a lot easier. Hey. Who comes up with these ideas anyway? Hey. I think you knew I was coming. Anyway. So remember the lamp. And light's very important because this is only a reflector. Because the most important part of the light is what, children? What's the most important part of this lamp? Yes, sweetheart. Say the bulb. The bulb. That's exactly right, darling. That's exactly right. Because this is the most important part of this piece. Because this is like our lives. And our lives can be filled with many different things. But the problem is we try and fill it with things that are not crucial and vital. And the most important part or person in our lives is who? Who is the most important person that can fill our lives? Yes, sweetheart. Exactly right, the Lord Jesus. And he is the light of the world. Now, let me go again, see how we get on. I don't know why I did this anyway. I should have left it down, brought everything up with me. Jeepers, it's like going to quick or something around prunes. Right, here's another part. Who can tell me what this bit is? Hey? Yes, sweetheart. The steering wheel. Now, let me tell you this now, boys and girls. In your car, usually, whenever your dad's driving, he hears like this sort of a sound in the background. It's a strange sound, children. You'll not understand it, but it's a strange. It's like a nick, 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 nick. Now, it doesn't happen in my car that often, but sometimes. Sometimes, you know, what happens, boys and girls, in cars is that maybe whenever your daddy's driving, maybe your mother might say, "What are you going that way for? Why are we going this way? Why are we going that way?" And maybe your daddy might get a wee bit frustrated and he says, "Who's driving the car? Is it me or is it you?" And she'll say, "Well, you are." Well, then he'll say to her, "Well, then keep you quiet and let me drive." But the one thing you learn, boys and girls, and mums and dads, is that whoever has the wheel is really in control. That's the lesson. Whoever has the wheel of the car has got control of the vehicle. At least they're meant to have. Then I thought to myself, children and mums and dads, you know, as we make our way through life, for many of us, we make decisions and choices, and sometimes the decisions we make and the choices we make are terribly wrong decisions and wrong choices. And a simple reason is because, boys and girls, we still take control of our lives because we haven't handed the wheel over to somebody very important. And Paul writes to the church in Rome and the believers in Rome, and he says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And really what happens, boys and girls, is not just do I let Jesus Christ realize that he's the door, and through him I get to heaven, and through him he is the light, and he promises to guide my light, or he promised to show me how I should live. But also, as I have come to trust him, really what I'm saying is, Lord, I want you from here on to take control of my life. I want you to guide me. I want you to show me the way I should go. I don't want to go my way or do my thing. I don't want to have my plans or my ambitions or what I want to do. But Lord, really what I want with my life is whatever you want for my life. And the wonderful thing is, boys and girls, there's missionaries among us today. You're supporting your missionaries today. And for every one of those missionaries who have gone out to serve in other places, for every one of those missionaries, and even for your pastor, and for many people in this church this evening, what they have very simply said to the Lord Jesus, "I no longer want to make the choices. I want you to make the choices. I want you to guide me. I want you to control me. So Lord, I'm giving you the wheel of my life." But the question, not just do I put to the children, but the question I put to the adults this evening is simply this: who has got the wheel in your life? Who's steering your life? Who's guiding you? Who's showing you where to go? Because if you're still holding on to the wheel, that means that God is not in control. And if God is not in control, then the question is God even in your life in the first place? If God is not in your life, you're not headed for heaven. If God is not in your life, you'll be excluded from heaven. But when you ask him, he wants to take complete control of all there is of you. Now, last wee thought I want to leave with you, and you might think it's a bit of a daft thing. It's not. I don't mean a daft thing. You might think it's not that important, it's not really crucial. But what is, and you boys and girls might not know what this is, but for mums and dads, what is the most important thing whenever you own a car? What would you say is the most important part of any vehicle? Any guesses, parents? Any guesses, grown-ups? What's the most important bit? Surely. For goodness sake. Who would come out with a statement like, "What do you want insurance for, woman? Can't go the very best without it." I'm only joking you. Now, there's something, well, that's true. That is true now. Insurance is important. But there's something that just sort of clarifies that what you say is yours. What do you think that might be? That's exactly right, my friend. A little piece of documentation, and this little piece of documentation proves that what you say is yours is actually yours. It doesn't look that glamorous compared to a door and compared to a steering wheel, compared to a wheel, compared to all these other things, but all these other things are irrelevant, children, without this piece, because this little piece of documentation tells me that this was the first car I owned, which AIW 2765. Most people remember their first number plate, at least I do anyway. A blue Volkswagen Beetle, it was a 1200, and inside it, this registration book proves, boys and girls, everybody who actually owns my Beetle, this piece now. And you know something, boys and girls, as we make our way through life, there are many people who have questions and doubts and fears as to whether or not, if I ask Jesus Christ into my life, will he really come in and forgive me? Will he really save me? Does that really mean that I can go to heaven, that I can be sure that no matter what happens to me in this life, that there's a place prepared for me in heaven? And for some people, boys and girls, now listen, as you look throughout all this congregation, some people have hair and some have none, and all the other people alongside that, the reality is for many of these people in church tonight, for many of them, they have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But for some, and maybe even for you tonight, maybe there's one thing that you lack, even though you've asked Jesus Christ to take control of your life and to guide you. And it's very simply this, the reminder that he owns us and he gives us the assurance that we belong to him. Now listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The Bible says, boys and girls, that whosoever, it doesn't matter their color, it doesn't matter their size, it doesn't matter if they're wealthy or they're poor, if they're smart or they're not so smart, it's irrelevant whatsoever. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And within this book, boys and girls, it reminds us that God gives us an assurance in our hearts that not just do we know him as the door, and not just do we know him as the light, and not just do we have him as control, but we have this assurance from his book that no matter what happens to me in this life, that all will be well in the next life, because his word promises it. And this is the confirmation now. Now that tells you who owns a 1973 AIW 2765 Beetle. This proves it now. This little bit of paper. But you see this book. This book shows us and teaches very clearly who are his and those who are not his. Jesus says, boys and girls, by their fruits ye shall know them. So you don't gather pears from apple trees and you don't get peaches from pear trees. You get pears from pear trees and apples from apple trees. And whenever we are his, our lives will show forth the fruit and the evidence that we are his, and he gives us assurance and his peace that we belong to him. Now, children, I've tried my best. I'm not very good at it, but I've tried my best to make this Children's Day as interesting for you as possible. But I want to assure you now, every time you see a door, remember three things. A door has how many sides? Two sides. How many handles has most doors got? Good gear. But how many handles is on our heart? One. Exactly right, sweetheart. And what other third thing does a door have? Yes, darling. Exactly. And the question is, what will you do where your heart is concerned concerning Jesus? That goes for you mums and dads now. The question I leave with you tonight as we finish, and very simply, is this simple question now. Is your life still empty? Is your life still empty? It doesn't need to be empty. Because you can have him who died on the cross for your sins, to whom the Bible says he was the light of the world. And thank God he comes and he lives in our lives by his Spirit. And he shows all people that we belong to him. Maybe you are empty tonight and you feel you have nowhere to turn or nowhere to go. Well, I want to tell you there is somewhere to turn and there's somewhere to go, and that person is Jesus. Tell me tonight, who's still controlling you? Or who's in control of your life? Remember, children, whenever you drive down the road and you hear a voice in the car as your daddy's driving, and it's a little, I'll not say what it is, but anyway, it's a wee voice in the background, maybe telling your daddy what to do and what not to do. Or vice versa, it could be the other way around, but it rarely ever happens that way. But you remember, you just always say, now, mummy, if daddy's driving, if his hand's on the wheel, he's controlling the car now. But you remember every time you see a wheel, children, steering wheel, and mums and dads, Some of you men go out tonight and jump in your car and you put your hand on the wheel. You remember now. You ask yourself, who's really in control of my life? Am I really living for Jesus? Or am I living for myself? And whenever we live for ourselves, boys and girls, we have our own agendas. We have our own plans. Maybe we might not make them known publicly, but in our hearts we know what they are. Because we want to try and manipulate the circumstances in such a way that we get what we want. But whenever we're Christians, boys and girls, it's not about getting what we want out of life. It's doing what pleases Jesus. That's what it's all about, the being a Christian. It's doing those things that please Him. And we ain't going to do that if He isn't in control. And remember children, remember mums and dads, remember adults this evening, that when we are His, He gives us this assurance that we belong to Him. Don't ever forget it. Maybe you might be plagued with doubts. Remind yourself not of the pastor's words or not of my words or anybody else's words, but remind yourself of God's word. Because it will stand strong forever. The Bible says this earth one day will all pass away, but God's word will abide forever. It'll stand sure. This is what gives us a confidence in this life and a confidence next life that we are His. Because He says these words, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Children, you've done really well, really well. I hope, we pray, that for all of you boys and girls, that you'll let Christ Jesus into your heart, you'll ask Him to be your Savior, and most of all, you'll live your life for Him, letting Him control your life through the years that lie ahead. As I finish grown-ups this evening, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you just where you sit now. What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing for Him? I was intending to bring one last little piece of item, but I didn't know whether I would have time, so I failed to bring it. But the one last piece of item, I don't have it here, but I was intending to bring my windscreen. You see, why would you bring a windscreen? What would you bring one screen for? One screen is very important because it's what you do, it's what you see as you look out through it. What do you see when you look out through your one screen? Well, really, folks, we see people. If Christians, we see need. If Christians, if we see it through the way God sees it, we see people that are lost without Jesus. And the scripture says, the harvest is plenteous. But what? The laborers are plenteous also. No, it doesn't say that now. It says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And maybe in this very building tonight, there might be those to whom God will put His hand upon and say, and ask you tonight, would you be a laborer? As you look out of your windscreen, as you look ahead, and you see the need, will you be willing, one of those people are willing to serve me to the end? To reach those who need to be reached. And maybe if God doesn't ask you to go, would you be willing to stand with someone who has gone, support them practically, yes, but uphold them prayerfully and remind them of it, that you stand with them in the work of God. But what do you see tonight, good people? As you drive home, for many of us, we come in our car, we'll pass through maybe the edge of Belfast, for those of us who live out in the country, we'll get into the wee village, drive through wee villages, and we see the odd individual out dannering about the streets. And what do we see when we see people? Surely, folks, we ought to see that there's great need. And boys and girls, you can be great laborers in the harvest of God. Let's pray together before we sing, and you've been terribly patient with me tonight. Our loving Father, we thank Thee this evening for Your goodness, for Your love, and for Your care. We thank Thee for the children in church tonight. We thank Thee for them and for parents, grandparents. And we lovingly ask and pray, Lord, for all of us as we sit under Your word, even in a simplistic form, that You may be pleased to use Your word to touch our hearts, to challenge us where we are presently. If necessary, Lord, as those of us who are grown-ups, if necessary, Lord, rebuke us. Lest, Lord, we just live our lives And sadly, we've lived our lives just for ourselves. We thank thee for these young lives, and we graciously pray that not just will you bring them to that place of saving faith, but bring them to that place, Lord, of being willing to serve thee and serve thee to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.